Hey, welcome to episode 8 of Learning the Ropes. My name is Scott.
And I'm Brian.
And this week we're talking about Ricochet. Now, I don't want to scare anybody Ricochet. Off. You may not know who Ricochet is, but follow us. If you do know him, please email us at theltrpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your favorite Ricochet moments and matches.
You're starting the plugs early.
Yeah, starting the plugs early and heavy frequently. But I just want to let everybody know, like, we've done guys like Macho Man and Undertaker and people who, you know, pretty much everybody knows. And
the thing is you should have the opportunity, if you have Netflix, to know who Ricochet is.
Absolutely.
Because, why, Scott?
Because he is also Prince Puma on Lucha Underground.
And he is amazing. And that's actually the character that I chose for this episode.
Prince Puma.
Prince Puma.
Yeah.
But turns out he's Ricochet for realsies.
So Lucha Underground, the first two seasons are on Netflix. So I've been trying to get through them. Brian, I think, is actually ahead of me. Mm-hmm. So Lucha Underground is something else.
It's my favorite. It's my favorite way to consume wrestling.
Let's just consider them an unofficial sponsor of this episode.
Yeah, probably.
Huh? Lucha Underground, I'm plugging them hard. They are awesome.
They're fantastic.
So Ricochet wrestled Rey Mysterio Jr. on an episode of Lucha Underground, and
yes,
that's the match we talked about last week.
That was a great match.
And now we are going to dive into the career of Ricochet / Prince Puma. So these are the matches that I had Brian watch. And again, I'll remind everybody that the links to these matches, if you want to see them, are in the episode description, either on iTunes or Google Play or Podomatic, anywhere you get our podcast. If you click the episode description, we'll include either YouTube links or Daily Motion links so you can watch these matches. And there are quite a few on this list that people need to see.
Oh my gosh. Like that's kind of like just the tagline of this guy is you got to see this.
It
right?
really is.
Right?
I mean, Ricochet as much as we're going to hype him up, because I assume you like him as much as I do.
Oh my gosh, I love him.
So they, he's got to be seen. He's a wrestler to see.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the greatest talker. He hardly ever talks.
Yeah, he hardly ever talks. He does great body language in the ring, you know.
Yeah.
Like, he acts very, very well in his character, but yeah, very little talking.
Ricochet doesn't wear a mask, but Prince Puma does, and he seems equally comfortable in both.
Yeah, but the cool thing is he's a different person, whether he's wearing the mask or,
right.
You know, he plays a completely different persona, and he actually does it really, really well.
Yeah, absolutely. So these are the matches that I had Brian watch. Ricochet versus Kota Ibushi from New Japan Pro Wrestling's Dominion from June 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Puma versus Johnny Mundo from Lucha Underground. That was an
Johnny
Iron Match.
Johnny Mundo.
I like that your wrestler voices all sound kind of like Macho Man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This is Johnny Mundo.
I got to take my sunglasses off to see the action. Oh, yeah.
Ricochet versus Kushida from New Japan Pro Wrestling's G1 Climax Finals. That one was for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Now, I feel like a lot of people have already checked out. I feel they've turned off the podcast.
Yeah,
they're like, I don't know what the hell
I don't know what
about.
This is.
We're going to guide you through it. Because I assume this was probably your first New Japan match.
Oh, yeah. Like I didn't know how to consume Japanese wrestling at all up until this point. And so, like, yeah, for anybody who's a little turned off right now, actually, it's your
get
loss.
Get turned on.
Yeah.
Get turned on.
If anyone should turn you on, it's Ricochet. He's great. This is, like, honestly, these are some of the best matches I've ever seen.
Yeah. They were amazing.
Yeah.
They're some of the best matches I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like,
holy shit.
Prince Puma versus Pentagon Jr. versus Mil Muertes on Lucha Underground. Ricochet versus Will Ospreay from New Japan's Best of the Super Juniors. Ricochet, Matt Sydal, and Will Ospreay versus Adam Cole and the Young Bucks from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla's Battle of Los Angeles.
The Young Bucks.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about the Young Bucks. and then Ricochet versus Will Ospreay again. That's the third Will Ospreay match on the list from WCPW's True Destiny. That was from February.
True Destiny.
So that let's get into this. I'm really excited. I want to know your thoughts on Ricochet and Prince Puma before I say anything. I've already hyped him up, but
yeah.
I just want to get your idea of who he is and what he does.
I mean, he's obviously super young. He's obviously not dead, which is great.
Great.
Yeah.
I actually have some bad news for it. No, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive.
This week?
This weekend. Is he dead? Yes.
So this, like, he is insane. He does some of the craziest spots I've ever seen. No problem. He just, and he's super acrobatic, and he pulls it off. And I don't think he's a small guy either. I think, like, he at least in Lucha Underground, it looks like he measures up to a lot of the bigger guys. You know, he's not like a cruiserweight style.
Yeah, I think he's about 5'10".
Yeah.
And then he's definitely a cruiserweight. He's under 200 pounds.
I guess what I mean is, like, not like those Rey Mysterio 5'2".
Sure,
you know,
definitely.
People are, sorry, so forgive me. But, like, sorry.
I noticed looking at his earlier matches compared to especially like Lucha Underground, he got ripped.
Yeah,
like,
he did.
Like, he went from, like, when he started out, he was, like, pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is jacked.
Yeah,
and
he's pretty huge.
It's more amazing that he does some of the aerial moves that he does.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of muscle to move around. I feel the same way about Neville.
Yeah.
Is every time I see Neville, I'm just like, how do you spin that
Neville.
Much
he's
where
great.
He's, like, got that much, like, muscle mass on him?
Yeah, but, the fact that he hasn't been, well, I guess I... WWE has had to have had conversations with this guy. At some point, they have had to have conversations with this guy. Lucha Underground was so lucky to get him over WWE. I don't know. He's a rock star. He's one of the best wrestlers I've ever seen.
Yeah. WWE has talked with him.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine a world in which they haven't said, you know, this guy's actually kind of good. You know?
Oh, absolutely. They are in talks, from what I know. He sent out a tweet. He sent out a tweet that said, an underground fighting organization is holding me down, meaning Lucha Underground. So
don't make Lucha Underground the bad guys.
No, and obviously they brought him to a new level of stardom that he hasn't had. But I think it's probably difficult knowing that Lucha Underground only films for 4 months a year.
Yeah.
And you've got 8 months a year where you can do other things.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be WWE. They're not going to hire somebody who works for the competition.
Yeah.
It's going to be exclusive if they do. It's tough.
So what do you think happens when WWE finally gets their claws into him? Do you think that I guess it'd be claws or puma claws. Do you think that he goes over as Ricochet, or do you think he goes over as it seems Puma would be owned by Lucha Underground or something like that.
Yeah, it definitely wouldn't be Puma. It might be Ricochet, but he's been pretty open in interviews saying that he would be open for a name change.
You know what? And I think that wouldn't be a bad idea, because Ricochet does sound like a, hey, I'm just starting out in the indies kind of name.
Absolutely.
It really does, doesn't it? You know, like, you don't take that name. Like, let's say we saw that on, like, a card for WrestleMania. You know, like, it doesn't sound...
Ricochet.
It doesn't sound that great.
It is a good chantable name, though.
It is a good chantable name. And
I love when they chant in Japan. That's like when they're chanting Ricochet. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like a C-level Marvel villain.
I'm positive there is.
I don't know for sure, but I'm positive if I were to Google Marvel Ricochet, somebody's going to pop
somebody
up. I'm
going
to do it.
Oh, you're going to do it? Okay. All right. No, I think he was big in Japan.
He
does a lot.
Fictional superhero from the Spider-Man galaxy.
And yep, he's definitely C-level. Just for everybody watching, it's confirmed. C-level villain from the Marvel Universe. We'll never
Jonathan
see him.
Gallo.
Jonathan Gallo.
Ricochet.
Well, you know, when you've got two evil names, you know. Gallo and Ricochet. You were telling me a little bit ago that... Japanese style wrestling is very different from American style wrestling, which is very different from Lucha Libre. I think I get it with Japanese. It seems to be really stiff, a lot less romantic, and, you know, like, you know what
less
I mean?
Showy.
It's less. Yeah, it's like less character driven.
And a big part of that is that WWE has been running American wrestling for so long.
Yeah.
And Vince just got his idea in his head where, in the 80s, I'm going to make them cartoons. Yeah. You know, living, breathing cartoons.
Oh, and I don't think anything's wrong with that necessarily.
Definitely not.
You know?
But that's not the lineage for Japanese wrestling.
Yeah,
at all.
Japanese wrestling is like. What I noticed, so like, let's get into a match then. The first one that you had me watch, what was that one again?
So that was Ricochet versus Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, those guys, like, I mean, both great. This is a fantastic match.
I feel it was kind of a best of for both of their move sets.
That's what I was thinking too. One thing that I noticed with Japanese style wrestling is they do a lot of segmented type of, you know, bits, you
how
know,
so?
Like where they'll start, like, they'll do a, like, well, I'm going to kick and then I'm going to miss and then you're going to punch and then you're going to miss and then they'll do a move and then I'll do a reversal and then you'll get out of that. You know, they'll do like, and then we'll start bouncing off the ropes together and whatnot. We'll start doing these like high flying things and then we'll land and we'll look at each other really intense, you know, like,
yes,
that, and that happens in the Will Ospreay match too. And it was badass.
Oh, it was amazing.
But
it happens in both Will Ospreay singles matches.
Oh yeah, it does. Like that bit that they do.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I watched a ECW match between Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first time I'd seen a long combination like that.
Yeah.
Just really athletic, really fast moving, had the stall at the end where they stare at each other. Crowd loses their mind.
Yeah.
And I went back and looked and tried to find if that was the first time that had happened.
Yeah.
I'm sure it hasn't. But it was certainly the definitive one for my wrestling watching history.
Yeah.
It's just like, they just kept going. It was pinfall attempt after pinfall attempt and couldn't get each other. And all these pins that kind of I'd never seen before and they're flipping around and then they stop and the crowd goes crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely a crowd pleaser, you know.
Yeah,
it's really,
the crowd loved it.
It's
here.
Really fun to watch. And that was actually something, with the Will Ospreay match, I mean, I don't want to jump around too terribly much, like too fast, but so I have a coworker who I, you know, like, and I work a lot, and so I have to watch some of these at work.
Yeah.
And anyway, so like I paused the Will Ospreay match when they did that crazy combination. For anybody who hasn't seen it, go watch it. It'll be in the show notes. That combination was something that even a non-wrestling fan was like, whoa, that's really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, and that for me was really cool. Because it's one thing to have like the cartoons with Vince McMahon and whatnot, you know, and to have like the big sweaty men with the big, or with the really wet hair and whatnot,
sure,
you know, slapping each other and like brawling. You know, we dig that stuff, but like for people who don't understand wrestling and who don't bite on that so hard, this stuff is actually really cool to watch. It's universally cool.
It's one of those things where you're like, sure, wrestling is predetermined, or, you know, they'll say wrestling is fake, and you're just like, yeah, but these guys are insane athletes.
Right.
And just look at what they're doing. Look at, I mean, you can't
do that.
He
just did like a crazy backflip standing, you know, like, and, you know, to do like a power slam on him or whatever, or not a power slam. I don't know what the move is called. But
there were quite a few tilt-a-whirl backbreakers in this episode.
Yeah, and like for anybody, like, it's like, yeah, we get it. It's fake. Or I guess it's
I kind of want to hear your take on this now, because as a new fan, like, it's something that the rest of us have been dealing with for, you know, our whole lives. So I want to hear your take. If your coworker came up to you and said, are you watching wrestling? Ugh,
like, yeah,
it's fake.
Yeah,
well, how do you reply to that?
Well, I think for me, it's like, it's less about the... my dad has got wind that we're doing this thing, and then all of a sudden I like wrestling, and he's like, the competition's not there, Brian. It's just, it's not real. And I'm like, Dad, it's not about the competition. It's a lot of theatrics in the ring. It's a performance. You know, these two people have figured this out, or they're figuring it out while in the ring, you know, like, the it's the spectacle, you know, of the things that they can put on, especially with Ricochet. You know, like, if you think for a second that it's, you know, it's about the real competition, I'm sure there's some backroom politics, but it's all figured out in the ring, especially with like the PWG match, where it's like you've got three guys lined up and then they're like all kicking at the same time. It's like, of course that's fake.
Right.
I think the thing that, for me, that has made wrestling really enjoyable is just suspending my disbelief for a little bit. It's a nice escape.
Totally.
Right?
I absolutely agree.
What do you say? Like, what do you like about wrestling?
I always tell people that there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else like it, you know? And some people call it a soap opera for men, and some people will just call it performance art, or, you know, like...
Man, but those women now are getting, like they're finally getting the push that they deserve.
And especially, WWE's had some great pushes, too, for women, but if you're not watching Lucha Underground, that is a huge selling point for Lucha
Underground.
Sexy
Star is amazing.
Sexy Star is the best.
She is so good.
Oh, she is awesome. So that's sort of what I say. I'm just like, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
And I'll try to explain to them that I read all the dirt sheets. You know, the backstage politics and how it influences the television product is as interesting to me as people who study like old Hollywood.
Yeah. The thing is, I feel like it would be one thing if I was only into the wrestling. But I think we've established, you know, very clearly that
you want to know behind the curtain
everything that's going on. Like, what's that conversation to say that I'm going to get pinned and it's actually going to hurt my character? You know, like, what is that conversation that how did you get to that point?
Yeah, and find out guys like Shawn Michaels will go straight to, you know, in the old Hollywood days, it would be, you know, it would be going to the studio boss.
Yeah.
And saying, I'm not doing this crappy picture. You got to get me out of it.
Yeah.
Like, you got to do the picture. You got to do the job.
and that's what I like about wrestling is there's so much. It's like what we were talking about last week where, like, you mentioned NASCAR, where NASCAR can seem really boring, really stupid, and a lot of left-hand turns.
Right.
There's actually so much more underneath. And that's with wrestling as well. There's so much more underneath. Like, when you opened my eyes to the fact that there was more than just WWE and that there was a whole world of indies, you know, these striving stars trying to, like, you know, get seen. That was another thing entirely, you know, and
I love this episode because there's no WWE in it.
There's nothing.
Nothing against WWE, but I mean, there is a lot out there, and I think this is a really good starting place for people who were, like, a little hesitant to jump into some of that other stuff.
Yeah, well, and this guy's...
Because it is overwhelming.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, where do I start with the entire country
of
Japan?
Which era do I... Yeah. Yeah,
this is a good place to start. You're going to be comfortable because you've got these more lucha-style, fast-paced wrestlers coming from outside of Japan. So it's actually, I mean, it's a good place to start because I think Ibushi is one of the best. I think Kushida is one of the best, especially of this new modern era. And I think it's a good place to just... try it out.
I think so too. Like, and it's exciting. Like, even so, I had a buddy Chance over to watch some of this stuff, and he, like, even him, he was like, well, wait a second, this is fake, but he just really kicked that guy in the face. Like, yeah, he kind of did, you know, like,
right,
you know, like, and he's like, wait a second, this is fake, but that actually really looked like it hurt. I'm like, yeah, it probably did. Probably
this
hurt like hell.
Something I've wanted to talk about on the show a little bit is, like, when I was young, I knew it was fake because the first time I ever saw a wrestling match, it was the Bushwhackers versus some other tag team back in the 80s, and I was at my grandma's house. I'd never seen wrestling. Turned on the TV, saw the Bushwhackers stomping around, and I was just like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. Just immediately, it just clicked somewhere in my brain. First thing my grandma said was like, ah, that's fake. And I looked at her and I was like, of course, it's TV.
It's not real.
Like,
that's
do
for
we
sure.
have to do this with every channel? Like, of course it's fake. It's television. Like,
you know that movie?
Yeah.
It wasn't real.
Oh, I know. So, but then I started watching, especially when I got into matches from Japan and ECW and stuff like that, where you're going, well, that certainly didn't look fake.
Yeah.
Well, that certainly was really stiff. Yeah. That was really brutal.
Yeah.
That couldn't be faked. Then you get into the land of predetermined, not fake. You get into the land of how do you get the crowd to react? And sometimes that is to make it look extra believable by actually kicking him in the head.
By actually kicking him in the head.
Right.
By actually, like, really chucking him out of the ring onto the whatever posts, you know?
Yeah, and you hear guys like, there were guys like Big Van Vader, who we'll get into in a little bit.
Big Van Vader.
It's Vader time! And we'll get into him.
He's got a scary mask, too.
And what we...
Kind of like a BDSM kind of thing.
Yeah, it is weird. It's a weird mask.
It's a little
I forgot
strange.
You had seen Vader before.
I saw a picture of him recently, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
There's...
Someday we'll do an episode about Vader, and we'll watch the episode of Boy Meets World where he shows up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. And also, the Bushwhackers showed up in an episode of Family Matters.
Nice.
That just reminded me of something from childhood I hadn't thought about quite some time. So let's do a little background. I feel maybe we deep dove too soon.
Yeah, well, we dove
who
right off.
Ricochet?
Yeah, who is he?
Yeah, he's from Kentucky.
Kentucky.
And he
he
was born in 1988, so he's 28 years old right now.
Just a little bit older than me.
Yeah. Isn't it hard to see people your age
just
global superstars?
Yeah, it's like, well.
I mean, try being a rapper. It's just like, I feel like every rapper is 9 years old right now. It's pretty hard.
Oh, and you just finished up with a show, didn't you?
That's why my voice sounds like it does. I don't know if it was noticeable, and I hate giving disclaimers at the beginning of episodes, but if my voice sounds a little rough this episode, yeah, we had an amazing concert at Urban Lounge a couple of nights ago. Slug Magazine put it on for us, but we were screaming and going crazy. We did punchlines and clotheslines.
Oh, nice.
From House of Lewis brought out title belts, and I cut a promo on him, and we gave each other like Ric Flair chops, and
oh, nice!
It was pretty amazing.
Oh, that's great!
It was a great show, but my voice is a little raw.
For anybody who doesn't know, Punchlines and Clotheslines is actually it's the first song that we put at the beginning of every episode.
Yeah, it's our theme song.
Yeah.
None of the vocals are on it, but it'll give you a good idea. So he's from Paducah, Kentucky, town.
From Paducah, Kentucky.
You fucked up. So his best friend's dad knew a guy who owned a grocery store. An employee at that grocery store was a backyard wrestler. That's how we got into the business. It was the weirdest little story. I was watching an interview where he was talking about it, and then he got trained by pretty much a backyard wrestler who had had some legitimate training. It was a guy named Will Woods. He went by Kid Sinister. And then he got trained by a guy named Chuck Taylor.
Chuck Taylor.
Now, Chuck Taylor is one of the funniest wrestlers that has ever lived.
Okay.
He is hilarious. He's a great athlete as well, but he does a lot of stuff in PWG. And he's been on my list of top five guys who need to get signed by WWE. For years, and I don't know that he ever will. Even with all the brand split and 205 and everything they're adding, his comedic timing in the ring is unlike anybody I've ever seen.
Interesting.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm excited to see some of his
stuff. If we do a Chuck Taylor episode, like, we're watching 15 matches. Like, I mean, there is so much. I'm a huge mark for Chuck Taylor. And so Chuck Taylor sort of trained Ricochet, but Ricochet didn't really do the acrobatic style that you see now.
Yeah. How did that come about?
He just said 13 years of training and doing matches and wrestling and just slowly developed it over time.
Yeah.
And he said he was always pretty athletic and nimble, you know, and could always do the gymnastics sorts of things, that the basics of wrestling were actually harder for him to develop than the big crazy aerial moves.
Mm.
So he's like, I could do a front flip, no problem. But figuring out why you should do a headlock or how to do a headlock or how to engage people with a headlock.
Like the ring psychology and everything.
So
interesting.
And he was a tiny little guy. I mean, when he started, he was like 125 pounds.
Oh.
And
got bigger.
And
apparently.
Yeah, he just started doing the indies. And this is a guy who has really grinded, got his start really young, and just grew in the ring and developed and decided, if I want to get seen, I got to be flashier. You know, I'm not the big giant guy who's going to be noticed. I have to make myself noticed.
You know what, like, just freaks me out, the thought. So, like, we were in that ring when we were doing the music video.
Right.
I saw you guys jumping off, you know, the top rope, doing all that crazy stuff. The thing that freaks me out is to do that, to do this crazy acrobatic aerial stuff, you have to at least do it once before. You know,
absolutely.
Like, you have to try it.
You don't
once.
Just wing it
you
in front of 20,000 people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you've got to screw up at least a million times. You know, whatever.
Neville didn't hit the red arrow perfectly his first time.
And that freaks me out.
He came close 100 times.
I tried to put myself into the mentality of you guys doing all that stuff in there.
Yeah.
You know, just like, man, what is it? What are they? Like, it's a different perspective being inside the ring than it is watching, you know, on a hard camera.
Absolutely.
And just, man, that to me was like, okay. Like, and that gave me like a new respect for, you know, guys like Bobby.
Yeah.
You know, like he
from
was
UCW.
Yeah, from UCW. Like he was great, you know, and
he's amazing.
He
hadn't been in a ring for so long. Even when I hit the ropes, I'd forgotten how much it hurts.
Yeah.
Like I hit the ropes, I was like, oh, I don't want to do that again. And that's just hitting the ropes. That's not even hitting the mat. That's
you're not taking the bump or anything like that either.
Yeah.
It's just, but like, just kind of bringing it back to Ricochet though. He does some of the craziest stuff I've ever seen, and he had to do all of it at least once.
Yeah, it didn't come from magic.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have powers. He literally is just a human being who throws his body around. Has an insane amount of body control.
That's the other thing. And so, like,
to give some of you guys an idea, he does a double moonsault.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
In the ring. I mean, it's like, somebody did the double moonsault before him. I don't remember who, but it was like off a cage. And I remember downloading that clip on the internet when it came out. I was just like, oh my God, I'd never seen anything like that. But he will do a double rotation moonsault in the ring.
That's
he will do
crazy.
A 630 degree senton. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll flip and then flip again. It's just.
Well, and his finishing move is Puma is like what I think it's called the 680. Or something like that.
630.
630.
Yeah,
is that 630, that's what you're talking
that's
about?
The one. Oh, it's sorry, insane. Guys. It's
and he doesn't
it has
land
to
on
be seen to believe. That's what I have to keep.
And he doesn't
saying.
Land on his front. He lands on the back of his neck.
Yeah, he just keeps flipping.
He
and
just
then
yeah.
It's a senton bomb on him.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Sorry, everybody. Like, they probably all gathered all of that from senton bomb. I don't know what that is. So I'm just gonna say, well, he lands kind of like on the back of his neck while flipping a whole bunch of times. Anyway.
No, it's good. I think we have some people who watched wrestling as a kid.
Yeah.
Just based on the feedback people are sending in. They watched it as a kid and they haven't watched since.
Yeah, well, it's because their parents were like, what the hell are you watching?
Yeah, that needs to stop. That's how my parents were the first during the Attitude Era, especially anytime
I think that
women
was,
were involved, anytime the Divas were involved. I don't know how many times I had to just be like, Mom, there's artistic value in this lingerie match. There wasn't. There was none. So Ricochet has wrestled. He wrestled in a fed called Chikara, and we didn't watch any Chikara matches.
Mm-hmm. No, we didn't.
We probably should have. He wrestled under a mask as Helios, and Chikara is pretty much a comedic wrestling federation.
Okay.
They have a lot of great talent.
Comedic wrestling federation.
But there's weird sci-fi storylines that go through the whole Fed, time travel.
I can dig that.
I mean, we could do a real deep dive into Chikara.
That would be fun. That might be a one-off episode, but
it's insane. There was a time where like I can't go into it now. We'll save it.
we'll divert.
I'll say Chikara for anyone curious is definitely worth a watch. Then he went to PWG, which we watched that 3-on-3 match.
Yeah.
And I think you've seen a PWG match before, and I can't remember which one.
I saw El Generico versus Kevin something.
Kevin Steen, yeah.
Yeah, that was a crazy match.
Yeah, and so was the PWG match that we watched today.
It was crazy. Well, that one was with Will Ospreay and Ricochet on the same tag team.
Yeah.
That was fun.
And then he went to Japan, and Japan, he really blossomed in Japan. That he
bloomed
really,
like a flower.
He bloomed like a cherry blossom. Sorry, that's terrible. I don't know what I'm talking about. So, but he really, I think, became a star in Japan.
Yeah.
And they treat him really well over there. But he went over there, he didn't know a word of Japanese. He had to start wrestling guys who didn't speak a word of English. Some of them speak wrestling English, you know, they know enough moves,
right?
Names of moves that they can do things go. But
so how does that work?
It's insane.
Yeah,
it's one of the things I wanted to talk about. It's like, how do you go to a country where you don't speak the language and they don't speak yours, and then how do you
become a superstar over there? Yeah,
and it's one thing if it's, you know, in the 80s and it was nothing but headlocks and brawling
and a bunch of chain,
but this involves a lot of safety. You put your life in the hands of your opponent a lot of times.
It's like that communication thing. The fact that, like, well, you brought up what ended Bret Hart's career, you know, was a miscommunication between him and Goldberg.
That is a great callback.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
he shoots him off the ropes and says, you know,
Watch for the kick. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know what kick it would. Boom. Concussion. Exactly. End of career.
But now we're on a completely different level where there's a language barrier and probably some of the most acrobatic wrestlers in the ring. You know, I mean, that's like two levels up.
When I started wrestling, not the backyard stuff, but when I did briefly, I just want to state I'm no badass, like briefly did some indies.
He was kind of a badass.
No. But they, my friends and I that I was training with, we would get the opening match, you know, at the shows. We would plan out every move. We would plan out every single move that we did. Uh-huh. We had the whole match choreographed beginning to end, okay. And that's how we did it. It took a long time for me to realize that these guys who've been doing it for 15 years, which Ricochet, even though he's young, he started young. You know, mm-hmm. he's already 15 mm-hmm. years into it. You start feeling things. You can do things off of intuition instead of having to talk to the guy, instead of having to talk to, you know, a great point about that I bring up for people is in the Halloween Havoc Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio match that you and I watched.
Yeah.
There's a spot where Rey and Eddie are holding hands and Rey jumps and balances in the middle of the top rope, does a backflip, and then comes down and catches Eddie Guerrero in a DDT.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most seamless looking, amazing looking high flying moves I've ever seen.
Yep.
It turns out that they had never practiced that move before. They had never talked about it happening. You just move as one almost. I mean, it's just like how amazing dancers don't have to plan everything out.
Right.
You just sort of move as they move. You know, he sees Rey jump to the top rope. He sees him do a backflip and he thinks, well, there's really only one logical conclusion to what's going to happen right now. I guess he's probably going to go for a DDT.
My powers of deduction say a DDT is coming.
That's exactly right.
I guess I'll just take it.
So in these matches, you know, and obviously I don't know how
much
English.
No one should ever do a DDT. I hate DDTs.
You hate DDTs?
I hate watching them. Not because they suck, but because they're scary. Like there are some scary DDTs out there.
Yeah. And I don't know how much English Ibushi and Kushida speak. Or Pentagon Jr., any, you know, some of these other guys he wrestles.
Yeah.
But regardless,
yeah,
they move really well together in the ring, and they are pretty much seamless, and they hardly ever botch anything, and they're just some of the best matches ever.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things that I saw with Ricochet is, like, there are very, like, I don't know if I saw any botches.
He is smooth.
And I've been watching Lucha Underground for a while.
Right.
You know, I think I'm like episode 30 on the first season.
Yeah.
I didn't know that the seasons went that long.
They are long.
They're super long. But he's just so clean with everything. And he sells very well too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty stiff in Lucha, but as well.
There's some great stuff.
But he sells very well.
And when you think that year's worth of television is all filmed within 4 months, you start thinking just like, man, those are a lot of high profile, insane matches, insane spots, insane moves to happen back to back to back to back to back to back. If you're Prince Puma, you're getting your ass kicked constantly, and it's gotta hurt. And I know he's worked hurt. You know, he's hurt his shoulder, and he said both of his ankles are pretty much damaged. And
really,
you know, and you just keep
That's
going.
The thing is, like, these guys just, like, they throw their bodies like into just truck after truck after truck. You know, night after night,
right?
Basically, and it's just, but they still go for it. You know, like, it's insane to me.
What did you think about the Prince Puma, Johnny Mundo, who, for those who don't know, Johnny Mundo was John Morrison in WWE, who was part of the M&M tag team. What did you think about their Iron Man match?
Oh, man. Well, I love any time those guys get in the ring together. Like, those two are just absolute badasses. Really, I loved watching them in the ring.
And it's so funny to me because John Morrison, to me, was a guy who was never a top guy in WWE. You know, he was a tag team guy, and then he was a ECW world champion when they did that brand split. And it was just really interesting to me to find out that he was going to sort of headline this new wrestling company. Mm-hmm. And
I didn't know that.
It was amazing. Yeah. I mean, he's he stepped it up.
Yeah, he's really great. He's great in Lucha Underground, because Lucha Underground is really all I know him from.
And for those who haven't seen Lucha Underground, maybe we should give a little bit of background. They are a Lucha Libre company based out of Southern California, and it's like nothing I've ever seen. It is the film quality for this is unmatched. Mm-hmm. I think because WWE's constantly moving, constantly, you know, from town to town.
Yeah, and so many superstars.
So much of it is live, and it's just, it's too much to really get the camera work to that next level, you know, cinematography-wise, camera movement-wise.
Yeah.
Lucha Underground looks like a movie.
And it's cool because, like, they actually have... So, like, being a movie guy...
Right.
You know, being in film, they've got, like, cameras rigged to, like, on tracks on the ceiling. And so, like, they're controlling all that stuff, like, not with jib arms or anything like that, but just by, like... Because they have the benefit of saying, this is where we are... This is the temple, you know?
It's their stage.
Yeah,
It's their film set. The cameras can stay there all week if they want to.
Exactly. Yeah. It's amazing. And I think that's why you get a lot of really cool stuff happening in there too, like the jumps off the you know, Dario Cueto's itty-bitty office, off to the side. Right. You know, is because it's there. They know it's there, so they can plan around that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, the camera movements and whatnot, even in the matches, is amazing. And then, you know, you've got your promos or your storylines that happen that are filmed very, very well. Unfortunately, not all wrestlers are great actors. You know,
that's a good point. And some of those shortcomings are highlighted when you bring them up, you know, to the next level.
But you know, the thing is like, you still, like, for even people who aren't into wrestling, Lucha Underground is great. Give it a try.
It's a great spot. If you've never liked wrestling, or you know someone who's never liked wrestling, at least let them try Lucha. The storylines are
great.
Fantastic.
And they're very, very, like, fantastical too in a lot of ways. Like, I remember when they brought out Drago, you know, like, I was like, okay, so I'm supposed to buy in that this guy's a dragon from hell. All right, cool. I'll do it.
Here we go. Mil Muertes is sort of the same way. And
Mil Muertes is one of my favorites. So, like, he's like Lucha style Undertaker. You know, he's basically Lucha Undertaker, but I love Mil Muertes. I like him a lot.
I mean, you pitched me the idea of Lucha Undertaker, and I am super into it. Yeah. That is the best sales pitch you could give me. Going back to the Iron Man match, we specifically did not watch the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels Iron Man match for either of their episodes, because I just didn't feel like at that time, which was now, you know, a few months ago. That you would like it.
Yeah.
But I put this one on because...
This is a different story.
I really... For those who haven't seen it, which I assume is a lot of our listeners, go watch this Iron Man match. It is incredible.
Yeah. It's... Well, and like the endurance that these guys have.
Now I can't remember. Was it 30 minutes or 60 minutes?
I can't remember. It was
either.
Long. It was long. But that's not a bad thing. It's just... I can't imagine... Crazy. Like, with what Johnny Mundo and Prince Puma are able to pull off, and it doesn't slow down, you know?
No, not at all.
It doesn't, like, it's just go, 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 and it's high-flying spot after high-flying spot after high-flying spot, and it's just crazy. And I
don't want to spoil it, because we usually talk about who wins and, you know, and even how it goes. There's some stuff that happens in this match that I've never seen with an Iron Man match before. There's some stuff that I would just say watch it.
Yeah,
instead of going into like how the match progresses.
Warm up with a little bit of Lucha Underground and then go and watch this match.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Yeah, just go and like warm up a little bit.
I hate when people don't catch their opponents.
Oh, yeah?
It is the same way you feel about Tombstone Piledrivers or
DDTs.
Or how I feel about Tilt-A-Whirl Backbreakers. When you have one job, you are the guy not taking the risk. You are the guy standing 2 feet on the ground outside the ring waiting for a guy to hurl his body at you. And I get that you don't know exactly where this guy's going to go. He can, especially when there's a springboard involved, he could launch himself way over you or way under you. But I have seen times where there are a group of people waiting to catch one guy and they still miss him.
Really?
You know, and that happened in the Kushida match G1 Climax.
It did. He hit his hand real hard.
It was, he flips over, Puma, Ricochet, flips over the turnbuckles, this insane flipping poncho where he does a front flip over the turnbuckles to the outside of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And Kushida misses him.
Yeah, he misses him.
You had one job.
I want to know what happened to his wrist there, too, because, like, they show the replay of that.
The sound of it, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty.
And then Kushida does a flipping dive to the outside. Guess who's there?
Him. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the Kushida match was insane.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. I enjoyed that one a lot. And, you know, again, it was a Japanese match where you have, like, a lot of those near falls into reversals, into other near falls, you know.
It was awesome.
You know, flipping and a lot.
I really love Ricochet's Northern Lights suplex. And then he rolls backwards into a brainbuster suplex.
Yeah.
Which,
brainbusters are hard too.
Yeah, those ones are nasty.
But that one is crazy because he does the two suplexes and then he goes into the.
Flips them again, does it again. Yeah, yeah, it was so great.
So good. A lot of strength.
Kushida,
on his.
I'm going to go watch a bunch of Kushida. Yeah, a lot of strength.
Yeah.
Because. It's a deadlift.
Yeah.
I mean, you roll over and then you pick that guy up from
it's
the
a
ground.
Guy.
It's
yeah.
a guy.
Yeah.
It's not a small guy. I mean, he deadlifts him into a brainbuster suplex. That's a cool move. For as much as his high flying stuff is amazing to watch,
he still does a great job with just like standard slams and whatnot.
Well, shit. Let's jump a couple matches ahead. Talk about Ricochet versus Will Ospreay from WCPW,
yeah.
where the top rope breaks.
Yeah.
That match was crazy.
Yeah.
That match, you two guys who are great high flyers, great springboard moves in both of their repertoires, and they do one of those combos that Brian was talking about where they, they're bouncing around and working with each other and almost hitting each other and all this stuff. They do a thing where they do a double handspring into the ropes. And their legs, I don't know what happens, but it snaps the top rope off, and they have to do the rest of the match with no top rope.
Yeah.
I mean, you take the top rope away from Ricochet, Prince Puma.
Yeah.
What does he have? Turns out a shit ton of awesome
he's just
wrestling.
Like, don't worry about it. I got this. And that just speaks to like his like in-ring ability and like his in-ring mentality. You know, he's got a lot of fortitude there. And it's really cool to see people like be able to say, oh shit, things didn't really turn out the way we thought.
Absolutely.
Let's
what are we going to do?
We're going to put on another classic.
Absolutely.
That's what we're going to do, you know?
So there's this great spot where he hits Ospreay down to the mat and then pulls the turnbuckle over and just lays it on the mat and then does a moonsault, just a standing moonsault off of that turnbuckle that's on the ground and hits it. And the crowd just starts chanting, holy shit, like it was the craziest thing they'd ever seen. That match was fun. But I think we got to talk about the Ricochet-Ospreay match. Not the PWG bullshit. We got to talk about that, too.
Yeah,
there's just too much to talk about. These matches were all classics.
Yeah, every single match was something special. It really was.
So, okay, let's talk PWG first.
Because
then we'll close with the Ricochet-Ospreay match because that holy God.
The one in Japan?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's talk about Ricochet, Matt Sydal, Will Ospreay versus Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. PWG, I can't plug PWG enough either.
Yeah.
Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I had to make a special trip out to LA just to go to one of their shows. Their shows sell out in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, how was that?
It was one of the best experiences of my life. Of my life. Like, oh my God.
It's that electrifying crowd.
The crowd makes this.
Yeah.
The crowd
really
goes
does.
Crazy. They are the smarkiest of the smarks. These are the hardcore internet fans.
For anybody who doesn't know, it's a smart.
Super nerds.
Yeah. Super nerds about wrestling.
They know everything backstage. They know all the rumors. They know all the history. These are like the 1% of wrestling nerds.
Yeah.
Just
to build on that, the clip that you sent me was another PWG thing.
Right.
So like Ricochet is, you know, he's got a very distinctive chest tattoo. It's not very hard to say, oh, that's Prince Puma.
You know?
He came to a PWG match as Ricochet, but in the Puma
tights.
But like no mask though. And the guy who he was wrestling...
He was wrestling Marty Skrull.
Yeah, and he was like, "You're wait a second." And then, you know, he does that thing where he's like, no. He stops him. You know, he's like, "Don't say it.
Wait, you look familiar. You're Prince."
And then he stops him again. And then everybody's like...
"I know who you are. Wait." And he's like, stop. And the crowd, yeah.
It's just, they're just chanting. They're like, "No, he's not. No, he's not.
You're Prince. No,
he's not." And then, like, what was the other chant? It was like, "We love kayfabe."
Yeah.
"We love kayfabe."
That's smarky. Okay, so PWG is a special place because it's where the smarks get to get themselves over. And PWG is totally cool with it. But then they, like, infiltrate into NXT and, like, sometimes WWE shows. And, like, it doesn't really fit with the rest of the brand.
Yeah.
But PWG, the crowd is there to be a part of the show
and
make
great.
Them seem cool.
Yeah.
And it really works in PWG.
It's really rewarding. Like, for any kind of fan, like, I don't know of any other, like, nerdy medium where fans can feel more validated.
Definitely.
You know, PWG is great.
Yeah.
Even me as a new wrestling fan, even just watching on the DVDs that you've shown me.
Right.
It's great. It's a lot of fun.
So I've got the only way to watch PWG is either in person or to buy the DVDs and Blu-rays.
Very outdated business model.
Absolutely. But it's working for them.
Yeah.
Because there's no piracy. Like, you can't find, there's very little. And that's why I was so surprised to find this match on YouTube.
You texted me. You're like, "Dude, somebody just put up the Ricochet match on YouTube, the PWG match. You got to go watch it before they take it down."
And that is exactly what I'm going to tell everybody listening is I'm going to put this match in the, I'm going to put this match in the episode description. Watch it as soon as you can. Yeah. I don't know if the link's still going to be up, but I will say, if you live in Salt Lake, you can borrow my PWG DVD, or you can just go buy a
or
PWG
you can just,
DVD.
We'll just hang out. We'll just have a big old hangout
and
we'll
watch this
it.
5-star match.
It's great.
Dave Meltzer, I don't know if we've talked about Dave Meltzer or not, but probably we have. He is one of the most respected wrestling journalists in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He is the guy.
Okay.
He has a star rating system where he rates every, you know, every match he sees. Between -5 stars and a +5 stars. I didn't realize. I mean, very few matches get negative stars. He gives a lot of zeros, calls them duds. But this match happened at PWG. Dave Meltzer is in the crowd, front row.
Oh.
The Young Bucks totally play up to Meltzer. Like, one of them goes over and, like, hugs him and kisses him and is, like, you know, praising Meltzer. And they have this move where they do a tombstone pile driver. One of them holds him for a tombstone.
Oh, no.
The other does a springboard forward flip and comes down on his knees and, you know, spikes him in this tombstone. And it's called the... oh, shit, maybe that I might be wrong. Well, that's called the Indie Taker. They have another move that's called the Meltzer Driver, and I always get them confused. But they have a move named after Dave Meltzer.
Oh, wow.
And so, but this match, I mean, this was insane.
Oh, it was crazy.
I got to hear your thoughts
on this one. Just, like, kept going. Like, and they did a lot of that stuff where, like, a lot of the Japanese stuff where they do a lot of the segmented setups and whatnot.
Right.
You know, and that seems to be, like, the name of the game with indie stuff from what I've seen.
It's a good way to get the crowd going. Do these combinations, do these routines, and really have the crowd
going. The Young Bucks are like that DX with the suck it, and I don't dig that, but, you know, they're great. You know, they play great heels.
Yeah.
You know, and the crowd loves Puma or Ricochet. You know, the crowd loves
absolutely.
Ricochet. I was excited to see Ospreay and Ricochet get in the ring or, well, be on the same tag team. And there are some really cool segments that they, like, pace out really, really well. You know, like where...
There's a lot of triple moves.
Oh, man. I love triple moves.
Triple
so
power
cool.
bombs onto the apron. You know, all three opponents all three opponents and...
I was meaning something different, but yes, they have a lot of those too, and those are great. Like, those are great ways to get the whole holy shit, holy shit. You know that great chant, but
triple dives
to
the outside.
Oh, the way it ended, so good. You know, with that.
Insane.
But, like, no, they also do, like, this great bit where, like, one guy is in the ring. You know, Ricochet will do a move. The other guy who they're paired with will do a move on that guy, and then Ospreay will come in off the top rope and finish him off. And, like, they were just clicking with that, and it was great.
that spot, I don't want to give it away, but I will just say, towards the end of the match, that cutter from Ospreay, I won't say anymore, that was one of the best things I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
I got a holy shit chant, and you have to watch that match, if not just for that.
Yeah, this was like all I could. So I originally only saw because you were like, hey, you're gonna need the DVD to watch this match.
Right, I was gonna let you borrow it.
So I ended up like watching like a highlights clip of it first, and I was like,
what the hell am I getting into?
Whoa. You know, this is crazy.
That's how I felt when I first saw a PWG trailer go up, because they do pay-per-views they're not even pay-per-view. They do events once a month or so, and they always edit it down like a best of, you know, sort of a sales pitch video, 2 minutes or so, music video, and they'll put it up. And the first time I saw a PWG one, I was sold. I had never seen anything like that. And PWG
it doesn't look great either, you know?
No, like, it's like, just filmed in an armory with, like, you know, a couple cameras. This is this is the opposite of Lucha Underground.
This is not Lucha Underground. This is not WWE.
This is how I felt watching bootleg ECW tapes back in the late 90s. Was just like, oh, the ECW used to, there used to be fan cams that you could buy from RF Video.
Oh, really?
Where it was just people would bring cameras in the crowd and film it, and you could buy those tapes.
Oh, like, wow.
So PWG, low production value, maybe the highest entertainment value, the highest, like, just insanity rating.
It's pretty crazy.
So the crowd afterwards starts chanting five-star match, five-star match. Meltzer does not give out many five-star matches.
Okay.
There are a lot of 4.75, you know, star matches. I mean, it is hard to get.
Oh, so he even does the point thing.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Daniel Bryan has 0 five-star matches.
Oh, really? And I don't know Daniel Bryan's
matches. Shit, we got to do a Daniel Bryan episode. I'm going to get us to Daniel Bryan.
Somebody in the comments during the week said, I don't want a Daniel Bryan match.
Oh, really?
Or sorry, a Daniel Bryan episode.
Oh,
like,
I didn't
we're
going to
get
that.
There.
Oh, I got to see that. One of my favorite moves in this PWG match is Adam Cole does a super kick to Ospreay while he's upside down in a backflip.
Mm-hmm.
He does a back handspring off the ropes, and while he's upside down, super kick right to the face.
Yeah.
Like, just takes him out.
It's,
I can't recommend this match enough. If you just want over-the-top, insane amount of action.
And it just doesn't stop.
It does not stop. It's the best.
Yeah.
And that will bring us to Ricochet versus Will Ospreay at Best of the Super Juniors. Meltzer ended up giving it 5 stars.
Okay, good.
So there's a running joke that Meltzer only gives 5 stars to if it takes place in the Tokyo Superdome.
Oh, okay.
And so he loves Japanese wrestling more than anything.
Oh, really?
And especially loves that old style, like before it was really high-flying and it was more just like really stiff punches and kicks and a lot of dropping on the neck and stuff. Yeah, because that style that we're talking about of the fast-paced combos and, you know,
that's newer stuff.
That's an influence of America, which was a influence from Mexico.
Mm.
So Mexico, America, Japan, I think that's sort of the progression of these, like...
You know, it's really cool, though, that, like, they all influence each other, but they're all very different.
That's something that I wanted to talk about, too. I have here in my notes in all caps. You know, it's just WWE is tied to all of the indies. It's not a completely different world. You know, a lot of the guys that Puma has wrestled either used to be in WWE or... probably will be someday or are in it now.
Ospreay needs to be in there.
Neville took Ricochet under his wing in Japan.
Oh, really?
And taught him how to get around in Japan. And Seidel used to be in WWE. And
wasn't it Rey Mysterio doesn't he train him in terms of, well, not train him, but like,
that's what I thought. Like he said, I read somewhere that Rey Mysterio discovered him and then had Conan train him.
Oh, is that just an underground?
Turns out that was a kayfabe. I got worked.
Oh,
so
dang.
I meant to correct that. I have that in my notes here.
We
going,
love kayfabe.
Yeah, exactly.
We love kayfabe.
Yeah, exactly. So the WWE is not the only place to have a successful career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that is what a lot of people know, and some people hate WWE and complain about WWE all the time, but still only watch WWE.
Yeah.
And I'm going, there's a whole, there are worlds of it.
There's a different world out there.
You know, and I understand it might be hard if you don't understand the commentary. Yeah, that, you know, if everything's in Japanese, then it might be hard to.
I actually really enjoyed it regardless.
Sometimes I think it's better.
Yeah.
Just let me watch the wrestling.
Yeah.
And I don't
let
need.
Let me feel how excited you are about it.
Yes.
You know, I don't need all the. I don't need to understand everything, you know, but like.
I don't need to hear about the Twitter feed anymore, oh, Michael man. Cole. I don't need to hear, you know, it's a lot of the things that WWE does wrong, other companies do right.
Yeah.
And so it's. So I just wanted to talk about
the Osprey match.
The Osprey match.
That was great. That was the match I showed my coworker. It was like,
yeah.
And she was like, that is really cool.
It was the fourth singles match that these two had ever had.
Okay.
So they had some experience in the ring with each other.
You could definitely tell.
There is an insane amount of flippy shit.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
Maybe the most flippy shit that I've ever seen. And this match went viral.
Oh, did it?
For wrestling fans. And a lot of people had a lot of opinions about this match.
Really?
Including, who we spoke about earlier, Big Van Vader.
Oh, he had opinions.
Oh, yeah.
And
Vader
about this.
Hated this match.
Really?
Vader thought that this was the end of pro wrestling. Vader said, Yuja, that's the final nail in the coffin. How dare you? This is not wrestling. And then a lot of people were like, this is the best wrestling match I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And Stone Cold Steve Austin loved it.
Yeah.
You know, he was just like, I understand what you're doing. I might call it more performance art than pro wrestling.
I can see that.
But this is the most fluid, moving, one of the best matches I've ever seen. He did criticize it, saying that you could hear some of the calls too loud, which is absolutely
Stone
true.
Stone Cold is great at that kind of stuff, too.
He will pick apart the tiniest detail.
And he's great at that.
Which, when I was a kid, I didn't appreciate Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Because Stone Cold, to me, I was watching Rey Mysterio. I was like, that's who the best guy is. Uh-huh. That's who really cares about wrestling.
Right.
Stone Cold cares about wrestling.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Stone Cold has so many little tiny rules and details that he follows that is just... Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, but it's true. I mean, you're watching this match, and there are times where hear them go, grab my tights, and then they do.
Really?
Right after they grab the mic.
So the thing is I had to watch this with no volume.
You had to watch this match with no volume?
No volume.
Because you were at work?
I was at work.
Okay, we should rewatch it again with volume.
Okay.
Okay, that's a good note to say.
Yeah.
Because I
would probably have a different opinion on it.
Definitely. There are two parts of this match that are very audio-based, and I think that that's an important thing. One is, you hear them yell, grab my tights, and then he grabs the tights and whatever. The second is... the shit that the Japanese crowd, who are usually like very quiet and respectful, the amount of shit that they give Will Ospreay because they love Ricochet so much is amazing. He'll get hit or take a bump and he'll, Ospreay will be like, oh, and then you hear the crowd like mocking him like, oh, I was dying. It killed me.
It was a great match, though.
Oh, there's another part where Ospreay does a springboard forearm, and right before he goes for it, he's from England.
Yeah.
He goes, pip, pip, cheerio, motherfucker! And then he just jumps off the ropes and smashes him in the face with this thing. It was amazing.
I think you've got more swears in this episode than I do.
That's Ospreay's fault, not my fault. So the Stone Cold loved it. Vader hated it. The whole internet was split on it.
Interesting.
Wrestlers were split on it. I loved it. If I had to recommend one match from any of them, it would probably be this one.
Yeah.
However, that PWG one too.
I think the Ospreay match is great.
But I don't want to get away from Lucha Underground. Like that Iron Man match with Johnny Mundo was incredible too.
It really was. But the thing is like everyone's got Netflix. Just go grab Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground. I will. You know what? I will try to find. Look in the episode notes. I will have the episode number there.
Yeah.
I don't have it in front of me right now, but I will find that. I will put it in. Go to season one, episode whatever.
Yeah.
Go watch that Iron Man match. It is incredible.
It really is. And same with the Mil Muertes.
We haven't even talked about
Pentagon,
that one.
Pentagon Jr. The Puma match. There's just so much to talk about in terms of just like what to appreciate about this guy. You know, like, and that's what makes me really excited for his future.
Oh, there's just more coming.
You know,
I mean, he's only 28.
He's only, yeah.
As long as his body can hold out.
That's the thing.
That's
like
the hard part.
Because he keeps on.
You burn bright. You burn quickly.
That's the thing. And I hope that he can. Maintain, because I think I finally found my guy. You know what I mean? You know, like that
this
feeling.
This is your number one.
Yeah,
like,
this
someone
is my
asked
guy,
you who your
you
favorite
know?
Was.
Well, because like I could say Macho Man. I still love Macho Man.
Yeah.
But he's gone. There's no
right.
more. There's like, there's
who's
no.
Who's the guy to watch? Right.
Yeah. Who's the guy to watch? It's kind of like when you find your sports team or whatever. You know, like I think Ricochet. Just there was never a dull moment. There was never a moment where I was like, you know, I wish I was watching somebody else.
Definitely.
So
before I ask you who we're gonna do for next week, I just want to do. I always like to find a little story or something like that.
Story time.
And we talked last week about Rey Mysterio versus Ricochet and Lucha Underground. Incredible match.
That was a great match.
Such a great match.
Mm-hmm.
I found out afterwards that Rey Mysterio gave Ricochet the mask that he wore during that match as a keepsake. Because Ricochet, I mean, that's obviously one of his heroes.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Because
like Rey Mysterio is also a guy of mine. You know, he's past his prime. You know, he's not really doing much in terms of, but he does indies and whatnot.
Right.
But like, he's one of my favorites as well.
Absolutely.
I mean,
he's one of the all-time best.
I cannot imagine the honor that would have been.
To get to wrestle him, then to give him the mask.
Then to get the mask from it.
Man. Oh. Yeah.
So, the thing is, I've got a Rey Mysterio mask on order right now. Because I'm such a fan.
A little collection.
I got a little collection going on.
You know,
I dig it.
That there was a picture of us wearing masks for the Rey Mysterio episode.
Yeah.
We haven't really done plugs for the social media yet.
Yeah.
Daily content, stuff that's not on the podcast. We really want to grow these numbers up, get the word out about the podcast. So follow us on, Facebook. Just look for Learning the Ropes, a pro wrestling podcast. I think facebook.com/theLTR. Podcast for Learning the Ropes, the LTR podcast. Instagram, I've got a bunch of wrestling trivia. I just made a month's worth of wrestling trivia Instagram posts.
Yeah,
with
so
Photoshop.
We'll be like peppering that throughout.
Yeah.
With the, like, that'll be daily content, and then, you know, just like little bits and pieces of behind the scenes with us.
Yeah,
know?
If you want more about your favorite wrestlers, more little interesting stories and stuff, go follow us, you know, at the LTR podcast everywhere. And so now let's run through
the opponents.
You can pick from Kota Ibushi, Johnny Mundo / John Morrison, Kushida, Kushida was awesome, Pentagon Jr., Mil Muertes, Will Ospreay, Adam Cole, or the Young Bucks. That is a stacked list.
Very stacked.
Every week
list.
I always say, like, look how stacked this list. But this is a global.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really.
This could take us anywhere.
Anywhere. And that's, I'm excited. Like, this is one of the main things I wanted to do is, like, I could do a podcast where, you know, I talk about every 80s era wrestler or just the Attitude Era. But I was like, no, we could get really niche.
Yeah.
We can go to other countries. We can go anywhere we want. We can go to Lucha Underground. We can go to PWG. We can go to guys who used to be in WWE, now they're headlining a new company. We could do anything. Like,
yeah.
So I'm super excited. From that list, who are we talking about
next
week?
You know, what I thought was super interesting was when you were talking about how John Morrison really wasn't a guy that you had a high opinion. Like, just like he just wasn't amazing in WWE. But in Lucha Underground, all I know him as
is Johnny Mundo.
Johnny Mundo.
Headliner.
Phenomenal, end of the world, you know, like his stuff. I'm going to go with Johnny Mundo.
Awesome. There was a deep part of my heart that was hoping we'd go for Young Bucks, but I know we'll get there.
Oh, man.
And Will Ospreay. I mean, I'd talk about any of those guys.
I still have to recover from Shawn Michaels, you know, before we go to the Young Bucks.
A lot of people telling you to suck it lately. It's just...
really hate it.
A lot.
I don't like it at all.
Okay, so next episode is going to be about John Morrison, a.k.a. Johnny Mundo, a.k.a. Johnny Nitro.
Johnny Mundo!
So let us know, email us or Facebook us or any Instagram, you know, like get us feedback. We want to know, like, how'd you feel about the first like real indie wrestler that we're talking about? Yeah. Was the episode still entertaining to you? Anything about any of these wrestlers, anything about anything wrestling. I'm getting a lot of people just sending me stuff because they don't have people to talk to about wrestling.
That's the fun part. And I would also challenge everybody, cause we're about to watch Backlash, or I'm going to invite somebody to watch it with you.
Somebody who's never seen a pay-per-view before.
Just do it.
Yeah, stuff is coming up. They were recording this one. Yeah, Backlash is on tonight. Yeah. Nakamura in his first WWE in-ring debut.
And I'm
going to
try and figure out what everyone's going nuts about because I don't get it. Mm-hmm. But I'm open. I'm open, okay?
You're open.
I don't want to be – I'm not a smark because I don't – I don't give myself that much credit. But
I understand.
Anyway.
No, nothing wrong with that. Okay, guys. Man,
you're just so excited.
My brain is already thinking about like John Morrison matches Johnny Mundo. Uh-huh. Like,
so what I would say is just everybody share the episode because that's the only way that we can get bigger. It's the only way that we can, we need to see that, you know, everybody's enjoying this so that we can put more production value into this, you know, and because we're loving this.
This is a lot of fun.
And we just want to keep on going. So anyway, go follow us on all those social media platforms at the LTR Podcast. But anyway,
next week,
John Morrison.
Awesome. Thanks for listening.
This has been Learning the Ropes. Brother, step into the ring. The title's on the